Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Welcome inside the NASCAR Productions and MRN Studios here in Concord, North Carolina. It is another episode of NASCAR Coast to Coast, brought to you by Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. Whelan Engineering, and as always, MRN pit reporter Chris Wilner, MRN announcer Kyle Rickey out at in Connecticut at Stafford. And Kyle, speaking of Stafford, it is finally here, the 52nd Napa Spring Sizzler. You guys ready? We've been talking about it, you know, you and I, for basically since the start of 2024. It's the biggest weekend of the year for you guys, opening your doors for 2024. Can't wait. What can you tell us? Are you ready?
I think we're ready. We better be ready by Saturday. I know there's been a lot of on-track testing. We had 130 cars here in the pit area on Saturday preparing for next board this coming weekend. I know the Aroots have been busy mowing the grass, painting the walls, power washing the midway. So there's been a lot going on, a couple of private tests this week for some teams. So it's been busy. This is kind of the week I've been waiting for. I told Bonza, my coworker, yesterday, 175 days since our last event. Long cold winter finally beginning to go away, and weather looks good for the weekend.
And the Double Hooked is fully stocked, correct?
It is. The truck was here yesterday.
Perfect, perfect. We'll make sure let Steve Post know who's going to be venturing up there this weekend. We got a great show for the folks. We actually double dipped this week. We've got so much going on that we decided to have two guests. Andy Jankowiak is going to join us, obviously running ARCA series here this year, the ARCA Menard series, and getting ready to tackle Dover. But he's also got a doubleheader coming up, visiting Kyle up at Stafford this weekend with the Spring Sizzler. And Cole Raz, who won an absolute thriller. For those of you that stayed up way past your bedtime on Saturday night for the ARCA West race out there at Kern County, so we'll talk to him about his race win as well, plus all the drama in the news from New England. We'll talk about that and much, much more, including your race calendar for the weekend. But let's start quickly, Kyle, with things that happened over the weekend, and of course the Cars Tour race at Orange County, the Z-Max Cars Tour late model stocks, and it was another first-time winner. We saw Connor Zilich do it a couple of weeks ago, and now Mr. Brent Cruz, who we've had on this show before, picked up his first late model stock win out there at Orange County Speedway. First late model stock tour win, a rookie, and he does it with Kevin Harvick Incorporated, that race team taking a KHI to victory lane. And but it wasn't easy, Kyle. Remember his Friday, things didn't look good, did they?
No, they didn't, but he got there. They got it all squared away, led the final 39 laps, had a little help there in the closing laps. He had Connor Zilich and Bobby McCarty come together while battling among the top five. But Brent able to pick up the race win there. What, just a handful of late model starts now for him.
Yeah, and he's starting to get back, filling that schedule on late model side a little bit more this year, and not too shabby. His average starting spot's like 3.3 and averages a top 10 finish, and obviously that's going to go up with this race win. And you mentioned the contact with Bobby McCarty, Connor Zilich, Minnie Tyrell was involved. A lot of heated words from some of those drivers as well. So Connor, another rookie in the series, getting that welcome to the Cars Tour moment as well. Caden Honeycutt finished second, and what a weekend for him. He won the Pro Late Model race earlier in the day, was so close to sweeping the weekend, but again, one of those rising stars and a guy that we see on the national tour as well.
Yeah, we're beginning to see him appear in more NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series races. Did win the Pro Late Model event earlier in the day, holding off Nick Loden at the finish. Spencer Davis, a name we haven't really talked about a whole lot lately. We've seen him in the fendered world. We've seen him in open wheel modifieds years ago. Nice to see him with a top three effort over the weekend.
100%. Cars Tour's back in action with another double between the late model stocks and the pro late models May 3rd at Ace Speedway in Altamaha, North Carolina. They actually have a huge North Wilkesboro test going on as we record this show on Wednesday out at the North Wilkesboro Speedway, again gearing up for kind of the lead off to NASCAR All-Star Weekend here in a couple couple of weeks, so interesting to get the feedback from some of those drivers on that new pavement out there at North Wilkesboro. Bowman Gray, we talked about it last week, huge season opener. We had Burt Myers on the show going for his 92nd career win and 11th Hayes Jeweler 200 win to kick off the year, and something about being on Coast to Coast, Kyle, he went there and racked it up and picked up that win over the weekend at Bowman Gray. What a great race. What a great field of drivers, and it wasn't easy for Burt. He had to hold off pretty much everybody that's made a name for themselves at the stadium, including Tim Brown, another multi, yep, you know, what, 12-time series champion, and Brandon Ward, your most recent winner.
Yeah, Chris Fleming was up there. Jordan Fleming was up there. Brandon Ward in the top five. Burt took the lead midway through the event, and it was tough to pass him over a final couple of restarts. Fairly clean race, I guess. 25 cars took the green flag. Not a whole lot of controversy. So good for Burt to pick up the race win. Sold out crowd, standing room only. A typical opening night at Bowman Gray. The race of the night, though, the Sportsman.
Yeah.
And an incredible finish.
Yeah, I was standing up at home. I wasn't even at the racetrack, and that was exciting.
Chris Robertson over Tommy Neal by, I don't even know if it was this much.
I thought it was a tie. Yeah.
They gave it to Robertson. Depending on the frame you looked at, you could have had a case for each driver getting the win. It was that close. But what a way to start the season at Bowman Gray. Spectacular race there. Then the modifieds put on a good show just after.
Yeah, that finish is one I wish they maybe with NASCAR taking over managing operations, maybe they'll install some of those high-tech cameras for those photo finishes like we've seen, you know, at Atlanta earlier this year. But yeah, really good stuff. Really good opening night for Bowman Gray. Again, NASCAR's longest-running local weekly track. Some local winners over the weekend. We talked about Berlin Raceway. Shout out Jeff Striegel opening up its 2024 season. Evan Schotko, of course, a former champion and big money winner out there at Berlin, picked up the seasoning open win. Also, Ty Majeski picked up the Slinger opening win as well out there in Wisconsin, home of the Slinger Nationals as well. And Dylan Fecho at Nashville Fairgrounds, the three-time track champ, opens 2024 there with an early season win. Now, before we get to some of the other races, Kyle, back to Bowman Gray quickly. We talked about NASCAR. The racing that you saw there, what do you think? All-star race? You know, we talked about that coming up on the Cup Series side of things in a couple weeks. Could Bowman Gray hold a all-star race in the future?
Sure they could. I think we've learned in the last couple of years about any track can hold a NASCAR Cup Series race, whether it be points or all-star. I mean, we're building tracks in the streets of cities. We're building tracks in stadiums. Well, I mean, it would make sense to have the oldest NASCAR weekly track in the country in Bowman Gray Stadium host a NASCAR national sanction event for the first time since I think the early 70s. So I expect that it'll probably happen here in the next couple of years.
I can't wait to see the demand for tickets because that place is intimate, right? You're on top of the racetrack. Yeah. It's not, you know, a 300,000 seat capacity facility. So that'll be fun. Certainly anything's possible, as Kyle mentioned, coming up on the horizon. All right, before we get to our first of two guests coming up here on NASCAR Coast to Coast, let's talk ARCA, a double header for both the ARCA Menard Series and ARCA West in separate locations. Let's start with the National Series. Kyle, out at Talladega Super Speedway, you heard the call right here on the Motor Racing Network as Jake Finch scored his big win at Talladega.
White flag is in the air. 2.66 miles to go. Jake Finch has led all the laps so far. He's got one more to try to hang on. The field races back over to turn two.
Hold your breath. This is what we've all been waiting for. Does anybody have a shot for Jake Finch? Race is going to come from the third spot. Christian Rose will go to the high side, and he is immediately boxed out. Nobody goes with him. Everybody stays on the back bumper of Jake Finch. It's Chris Wright now in second with Tanner Gray in third.
Tanner Gray in that third spot as Christian Rose goes from third back to fifth. Up front, it's the battle for the lead. Jake Finch, his teammate Chris Wright behind him. Tanner Gray in third. Gustine looks to driver's left. He has to go below the yellow line. Makes the crossover move from fourth.
Question is now, can Jake Finch lead them all here this afternoon through the tri-oval? Jake Finch racing back to the start-finish line, and he's done it. Jake Finch from green to checker has led every single lap at the Talladega Super Speedway.
Kyle, was it a big win? It was a big family win for Jake. Obviously, James Finch, his father, they've got history at Talladega with Brad Keselowski getting him his lone Cup Series win back in 2009. What a race, but what a dominant effort. It's hard to believe. We normally don't talk about drivers dominating at a super speedway just because of the ebb and flow of the race and the draft, but Jake Finch really put him to him for his ARCA win out there at Talladega.
I don't remember the ARCA race ever being the cleanest race of the weekend. First of all, just one caution, and that was the competition caution around the halfway mark. And no lead changes. Jake led every lap of the race, and I don't think we've ever seen that before at Talladega in an ARCA race either. So kind of an unusual race for a series that gets so much flack for, you know, having long cautions and a lot of wrecks and you know, a lot of young drivers that really aren't used to that type of racing. They kept it clean. They stayed in line. Not a whole lot of passing, but everybody completed the laps. And for the most part, everybody was able to load up their race cars in one piece at the end of the day.
Yeah, and shout out to, you know, Venturini Motorsports had a great afternoon. Obviously, Jake Finch getting the win, but Chris Wright pushing him to the win. Thought about, you know, as a race car driver, you never want to finish second, but knew kind of the big picture situation. And it was a 1-2 finish there. Tanner Gray making his start with Joe Gibbs Racing finished in third. Gus Dean also from Venturini in fourth. And Christian Rose, your top five. Absolutely a clean race, and I don't know, maybe those Toyotas on the Cup Series side should have paid attention to how Venturini finished that race, because they put on a clinic. I know it was a quick little dig at Toyota, but no love lost there. Greg Van Alst still is your points leader by just 5 points, coming in over Christian Rose to their next event, and that's at Dover, a combo event with the ARCA East guys and girls coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And finally, on the ARCA side, the ARCA West Series out at Kevin Harvick's Kern County. And speaking of photo finishes like we saw at the stadium, this one, that much as well, as Cole Raz got his first career win, just his third series start. Kyle, it was a late night for those of us here on the East Coast, but well worth staying up and being a little sleepy on Sunday morning to watch that finish.
And what I liked about this finish, it all transpired under the green flag. The last, 45, 50 laps were under green. It looked like Tyler Reif was going to walk away with it. Well, he burned his stuff up. Trevor Huddleston closed in, made the pass for the race lead with about, 25, 30 to go. And then here comes Cole Raz. Reels them both in, goes from third to second to challenge for the lead in the last 10 laps. And the last 10 laps of that event were spectacular. Side by side, they were switching the lead several times a lap. And at the finish, it was Cole, like you mentioned, by that much over Trevor, who wasn't happy with the way he was raced. But, I mean, I've watched back on it a couple of times now, and I really didn't see anything wrong. I mean, it was some great short track racing at one of the great short tracks on the West Coast in the ARCA West Series.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, that's kind of a heat of the moment reaction. I'll be curious to see what Cole Raz has to say on his side of things. But you're right. And I think Trevor was a little upset too, just because this is the first year his family's kind of leased a facility and is running some of the operations there. And he wanted to win in that first, you know, the first race out there of the year. So I understand that, but he kind of had a good follow-up there on the podium celebrations, just saying, you know what, the long as the fans are happy and they're hooting and hollering, that makes me happy. Right. So I think that was really well said by Trevor. Tyler Reif again finished third. Sean Hingorani in fourth, and Nick Jonitis, your top five. And so without further ado, let's step aside real quick, because we do have Cole Raz on the phone from the West Coast. Let's talk about it. The photo finish from ARCA and Cole Raz coming up next here on NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelan Engineering.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit racingelectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
NASCAR Coast to Coast presented by Whelen Engineering. Of course, promised as always, joining us via phone is Mr. Cole Raz, the winner of the thrilling ARCA West race out there at Kern County Speedway over the weekend, driving for Jerry Pitts. And Cole, it was just your third series start, but boy, you look like the veteran the way you marched through the field in those closing laps to challenge Trevor Huddleston. Walk me through kind of that last run as you saw, you know, slowly but surely that car inching ever closer to yours out the front windshield, and figured you'd have a shot at the win.
Yeah, it's a huge testament to Jerry Pitts Racing and Dustin Ash. It's been a long drought for them, almost 7 years since Noah Gregson took home a Circle Track win for them in the ARCA Menard Series. So that was a race we really wanted to get pretty bad for them. And, you know, we fired off pretty snug for the first 25, 30 laps of a run there in the first half and second half, and just kind of had to buy our time. And our long run speed was really good. And, you know, just kind of a matter of time of trying to run them down. And, you know, we were able to work through lap traffic better than most of the field, thankfully. So, you know, that played into our favor. And, I mean, we were able to go put on a really good show there for the fans there at Kevin Harvick Kern Raceway and run side by side for, well, I don't know, 10, 12 laps there at the end. So it was really good, hard short track racing, which is what I'm accustomed to, which, you know, played in my favor. And, you know, we kept it pretty clean there for the most part. And I don't think you could ask for a better finish of, you know, from a fan's perspective there.
It was a long green flag run to finish that event. You said you needed that. Your car was better on the long green. At what point during that run did you realize I have a shot at this? Because early in that run, it looked like Tyler Reif was going to walk away with it. Then he backed up. Then Trevor, you know, passed him for the lead. And then you know, you were able to join the fun at the front as well. But at what point during that run did you realize, hey, you know, I have a shot at this?
You know, truthfully, I'd have to go back to the end of the first half. The way it really came in the last, you know, 30 laps or so before we had a caution with about 10 to go to the break, it just came to life for us. And with us getting right side tires at the break and we were able to work on it even more, you know, I had all the confidence in the world with Dustin Ash and Jerry Pitts on making the right adjustments to try and help complete the puzzle for us to be a race winning car. And, you know, I knew we would fire off a little slow, and I was just trying to make sure we didn't lose too much track position, and thankfully we didn't. You know, the 50 got around us pretty quick, and, you know, I figured them two will go burn it down and have some fun of their own. So it was just a patience game and waiting for it to come in. But I'd really have to go back to the first half of you know, the realization of, you know, we got a pretty good shot here to get this done.
Walk me through the final couple of laps as you guys are side by side, you and Trevor Huddleston. He said post race wasn't too thrilled with the way he was raced. Now, I think if you look back on it, it was just some good, you know, fight to the finish short track racing. But at what point did you know you got it? Because I think it took us at home, at least watching the broadcast on Flow, a few seconds to realize who did win the race. But it was thrilling nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, my stomach was turning there for sure out of four, you know, but ultimately running side by side that hard, it allowed me to try some things and figure out where I can, you know, gain an edge being trapped on the bottom like that. So, you know, we had a little bit of contact, I'd say, with four to go, getting into one. And that's just kind of an experience on my part of being run tight on entry in these cars. You know, because in a super late, if you're not in such a vulnerable spot like I was in the ARCA car, getting into one like that and got a little free and had a little contact with the 50, but you know, we had a really good turn two on the last lap there, and it allowed me to get in the position to where I can take his line away. And that's a move I've done on my teammate Brandon Farrington, and we were running Tucson Speedway back in the day. And you know, it's just something that's been done to me, and it's been in my notebook for a long time of how to, you know, get around somebody when it's time to go. And, you know, we still had a position to come off turn four side by side, and he ended up getting in the fence there just trying to get everything we can out of it, right? We're racing for a win, but I didn't know we had that in the bag in terms of winning the race till we crossed the line. Truthfully, I just tried to get away from them as quick as I could and pull it to the bottom, and we ended up having some pretty good contact after the line, and thankfully we were able to save that and keep the car in somewhat one piece after the checkered flag. But it's so incredible to see the emotion from Jerry and Dustin after the race, and it just goes to show how much hard work it's taken them, and it's been really special to be a small part of the puzzle on getting them back up to the top. And you know, I've known Jerry and Dustin and Jeff Jefferson even, because it goes back to those days of 2014-2015, so I've grown up with all these guys, and it just made that night so much more special.
And you mentioned a name like Jeff Jefferson. He goes back to, I think, the old Winston West series, even way before 2014. There's three names there that have been around West Coast stock car racing and this series for a long time. But for you to do it in start number three, that's pretty impressive. I know every driver goes out there believing that they can win every race, but to do it in your third start, did it surprise you at all?
Yes and no. It just goes back to the confidence I had in them. You know, sorry, my throat's a little messed up here, but
too much screaming after winning the race.
I guess so. You know, I had a lot of faith in those guys to bring a good quality race car for us to have a shot, and we unloaded really well. So I don't know if it'd be the word surprise, but it'd be more of relief. Not so much for myself, but just for those guys in general.
Yeah, so we're talking to Cole Rass, folks tuning in. Of course, winner of the ARCA race out there at Kevin Harvick's Kern County, and talking a little bit difference between super late models and ARCA cars. And we've had several drivers in the past, Cole, kind of try to describe it. But for somebody who's now, you know, been at the top of the mountain on both ends, you know, describe us kind of those differences. And you kind of were alluding to some of the changes. So basically what you're saying is you have to take a huge swing at an ARCA car if you want to make something happen, right?
Yes, without a doubt. And okay. I apologize again.
No, you're good.
They drive completely different, and you got to bring a different approach to both of them. You can't attack the corners like you can in the super late. And like I was alluding to earlier, running side by side with somebody, like the overall race craft is much different. The power to weight ratio is the biggest adjustment for me. And just the overall aero grip is much higher than an ARCA car, so experiencing dirty air for the first time was pretty big, even at Kern, which took me by surprise. But no, they're just
did we lose you?
I'm trying to get my voice back here. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good.
I blame allergies.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's pollen everywhere down here in North Carolina, so I'm sure there's allergies up there.
I really apologize.
No, you're good.
Hopefully we're...
Hey, everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
A little better now. I think we're good.
Perfect.
So I guess the final question for you, as my voice starts to go away, is where does this momentum go now? Wow, look at that. We're all falling apart. Where does this momentum go? What's the rest of, the next couple of weeks look like for you as far as schedule-wise?
You know, I'm just back focusing on my Super Late Model program. We're going to Irwindale May 18th for the Spears SRL Southwest Tour All-Star Showdown. That's a makeup race from earlier in February. In terms of ARCA stuff, that was a one-and-done deal. I love the opportunity to get back and working with Jerry and Dustin again, but it just comes back down to funding, and so hopefully we can capitalize on reaching out and developing new partnerships with new people, just based off of the success we had this last weekend. But in terms of the rest of the year, it's just super late model racing, and I take a lot of pride in putting a lot of work into our own super late model program here out of Oregon, and that's what my main focus is on. But obviously, if an opportunity arises, got to capitalize it on it. And, you know, I just really, really happy with where I'm at, but obviously still not losing sight of the main goal of hopefully racing on Sundays one day.
Well, you're off to a good start, and, you know, I think any race car driver will tell you winning fixes a lot of things and opens a lot of doors. So hopefully you'll get some phone calls or some emails coming here shortly after that impressive win over the weekend.
I hope so. I definitely learned that last year. We were able to pick up some big super late model wins, and we were able to develop a lot of great new partners. Apache Railroad Group out of Burbank, California was a big one for us, and Tim Sweet and Sean Woodside. We're able to both be there this last weekend as Sean was competing in the pro leagues, and winning definitely solves problems, that's for sure, and it opens a lot of new doors, and you just got to make sure that you can get your foot in the door and capitalize on that and meet the right people and just try and see where it grows from there. Like, you just try and plant a seed and see what, you know, you can do with it ultimately. And, you know, I have a lot of great friends within the industry like Noah Gregson and Brandon McReynolds, and you know, just try and get their input on the direction I should go and just try and be a sponge and gain all the information I can on how to take the next steps the right way and just not try and rush myself and make sure we do the right thing collectively as a family and as a team. And, you know, like I said, there's so many great people that have led me to even get to this point to go ARCA racing that one time. So it just got to see where it goes from here.
We're doing all the right things. We look forward to seeing where your career takes you next and hopefully back in an ARCA car before too long. Cole, congratulations on the weekend. We'll let you get your voice back, and we'll probably have to take commercial breaks. We're going to have to get Kyle his voice back too.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate y'all being patient with me there. That took me by surprise on my voice, but I really appreciate the chance on coming on here and talking with you guys this morning.
Absolutely, no problem. It was nice meeting you, and congratulations. Cole Raz, the big winner, ARCA West, out at Kevin Harvick's Kern County Raceway for Jerry Pitts Racing back over the weekend. All right, we're going to step aside for just a minute. Guest number two of the show, Andy Jay, is coming up next here on NASCAR Coast to Coast. This episode presented by Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. Whelan Engineering, proud presenting sponsor of Coast to Coast. We're back after this.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit RacingElectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
Finished the ARCA race 27th over the weekend, but Andy, it was an eventful race, I know, and obviously the results don't really speak to how fast that 73 car was for you. Walk me through just how wild racing at Talladega is and making calculated moves, because, man, I tell you, everywhere I looked, there was something going on around the racetrack all race long.
Yeah, just want to give a shout out to our shared sponsor there, Whelan. Their reach in motorsports is unbelievable. But actually, for Super Speedway racing, this one was one of our calmer races. I think we finally scared ourselves over at Daytona a little bit there. But so with Talladega, we don't qualify, so it goes by last year's points. And since we didn't run all the races, we had to start in the back. So It was fun. Me and TJ were kind of going back and forth on strategies. We were working with the 18 car with the Gibbs team, and we were coming through the field, man. It was pretty cool. We were thinking our way through it, and I don't really believe we made maybe one bad move. One time I jumped in the outside lane and it didn't go, and I had to bail out of it. But I mean, for the most part, we just kept creeping up there, and at the end we were working on trying to get me in the 18 into third and fourth and then see what we could do there. And we had our issues. So that was just kind of a bummer. But, you know, this is kind of how our luck's been going a little bit lately. So we're looking forward to getting that turned around.
Well, you know, race car drivers throughout the course of a race try to stay hydrated, right? They've got the water bottle under caution. You know, they're drinking water. But, I mean, you also need some potassium. And we, you know, caught wind of you on the broadcast eating a banana that kind of went viral. One, have you ever done that before? Maybe we just didn't know and you got caught. Two, it brought me back to the days of, you know, Dick Trickle smoking a cigarette under caution back in the 80s. So what was your reaction after you probably saw that on social media? You just chowing on a banana there running Talladega.
It was kind of a weird race, right? Because I always eat, you know, my biggest meal of the day right around like 1 o'clock because I, you know, my restaurant I work at, that's when we take our breaks. So I usually get hungry right around 1. And the race was starting at 11 and I really wasn't that hungry at the start of the race. But I'm like, man, I'm probably going to get hungry. So I was thinking about what to grab, and I was going to grab some cookies or something, and I just grabbed a banana. So I don't know. It ended up being not the best decision with the Sherberth helmet's kind of like right on your face.
Yeah.
So it was definitely more of a dogfight than I thought it was going to be. So the camera thing didn't go through my head right away when I was thinking about that. It was once I got on the track, I remembered I had a camera and I thought that might look silly when it happened, but you know, it was sitting right there and then we were under caution and I had about 38 laps to go and it was, you know, time for a snack.
When you talked about how calm the race was, you had that peel. Did you think about Mario Karting it and, you know, maybe getting somebody behind you?
You know, I'm very, very lucky to drive for a wonderful car owner with Kevin LaPierre and his partner, Andy Seiss, but I'm not sure that they would pay the fine for a banana track. So I probably would have got stuck with that. So that was, you know, I just tucked it in the door pad and saved everyone an issue. It'd be like a drive-through penalty or something. And then, you know, they would just actually murder me. I'd be walking home from Talladega.
What is it about super speedway racing that you like? You mentioned you were in the top five. Challenging for a spot among the top three when the issues occurred for you. But I feel like you're always toward the front at Daytona and Talladega. Sometimes things happen, you know, the wrecks break out or a mechanical issue like this past weekend, but you're always there. What is it about those type of tracks that you enjoy?
I think I got to give a lot of credit to car chief Andy Seiss. You know, he took a lot of, initiative with his ARCA program on the super speedway stuff. And he just had a bulk of knowledge. And, when I bought the first super speedway car, and now that I'm driving for him and Kevin, you know, they just carry so much of that knowledge into, you know, what we're doing now. And even right from the beginning, I mean, I was in Andy's garage and he was coming over there kind of telling me how these things work and what we can do to make the car better. And, even his brother-in-law, John Marlowe, he was crew chief on Jordan Anderson's car. He's, you know, lives next door to Andy. And we just got a lot of, my crew chief, Mike Dayton, has a ton of experience. So we just have a lot of really good people, you know, with a lot of super speedway experience. And they are our two biggest races of the year. So that's our opportunity to, you know, be in front of sponsors and try to, you know, market ourselves the best way we can. So we put a lot of focus on it and we've had some good luck and just a lot of smart people though, for the most part.
Before we get to your busy weekend coming up here between Dover and Stafford, let's just talk about overall this season on the ARCA side of things. I know the last, year and a half, I guess you've been focused more on the driver role with Andy and Kevin kind of taking over the operation. How much more of that pressure is off and you can just focus on the driving side? Because I know when you're more in the mix on the business side too, it can sometimes be overwhelming. So how has that been over the last year, just kind of being more of the driver and focusing on performance on the track on that side of things?
It's definitely been a lot better, actually. When we hang up, I'm going to go over to TJ Major's house here a little bit later, and we're going to work on some sim time stuff. And a lot of stuff like that was stuff I just could never find time for when I was trying to wear all the hats and do it all on my own. So I still am in North Carolina. I still do work on the cars. I still, you know, contribute quite a bit in the shop. And you know, I'm probably involved in all the different aspects, but the best way I describe it is, they don't all the problems don't stop at my doorstep. You know, I'm just a link in the chain. So I go there and I help, and you know, I come home and I get some sleep. Where, you know, before it was, you know, if it landed on my doorstep and it didn't get done, it didn't get done. So that was a stressful way to do things. And then there was a lot of, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning load ups when I had to be at the track at, you know, early hours the next day and driving all night. And it wears on you, and it gets to be hard to be successful that way. So certainly this is giving me a better chance just to be a good race car driver, but also, you know, have a hand in the mechanical side and do all the things that I've always done as far as, you know, my involvement with racing.
Still in North Carolina, but about to make your way up to the Northeast for a busy weekend of motorsports for you. Excited to get back at it, first at the Monster Mile in Dover, and then you're going to be part of a huge field of modifieds on Saturday and Sunday at Stafford.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting weekend. I'm excited that it's going to work out. I've always wanted to run the Sizzler. It's a race that I've always said I wanted to win, so we got to be in it to win it, so we're going to take a shot. But yeah, it just kind of worked out this weekend, and like I say, I'm lucky you know, be doing this ARCA deal with the guys that I'm doing it with, because they all love modified racing. And when I mentioned doing it, they were all about it. So it's going to be exciting. Certainly the focus is on Dover. You know, we got a huge investment going into that deal, and the crew chief's been working really hard on the car. So, you know, kind of full effort on Dover right now, just thinking about that. And I've been texting with the team a little bit. They're getting the car kind of ready, and they're going to meet me over in Stafford, and they're going to bring the scale boxes, and we're going to set it up and kind of double check everything and kind of go from there. So our modified's been running awesome is another reason I really wanted to do this. We went to Turkey Derby. We were very competitive, and we won a race in South Boston last year. So, you know, the car is really good. So I think the biggest thing I'm racing against up there is going to be experience and, you know, just the best modified drivers in the world. So, you know, why not take a shot, right? But yeah. It'll be cool.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's really cool. Two completely different disciplines, different racetracks. But what are the challenges of Dover when you guys go there on Friday? Obviously, we Kyle and I just talked about it before you jumped on. The entry list is stacked, and it's a difficult racetrack just to boot between the concrete. You're going downhill, uphill. Cars are getting loose. So what are your expectations, and what do you think about Dover?
I think if you make one mistake, you're going to get in trouble in a big hurry there. You're moving around Dover, man. I've been watching some videos of old ARCA races, and sometimes we watch them and it doesn't look like we're going that fast. And I watch old videos of Dover and it looks pretty wild. So, you know, it's going to be tough. Certainly the track has a lot of banking, but the banking tapers off pretty quick on the straightaway. So where a lot of tracks with banking, like a Bristol, you kind of throttle right up into the straightaway. But with Dover, you really got to keep it pointed and be ready, because once you get onto where you start losing the banking into that transition, you know, you're just going to lose all your side bite and the thing's going to slap the wall. So going to have to really work on discipline, working on that with TJ Majors. Fortunately for me, TJ should be a race car driver. I was telling him this the other day, the knowledge that he has, but he'll be on the radio with me, kind of helping me through some of the new things I'm going to experience this weekend. But, you know, we're bringing the same car we brought to Phoenix, and it felt pretty good. So the crew chief's been putting a lot of effort into this one. So we're pretty excited about Dover for sure.
Final question for you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
You thoughts on the format at Stafford? You'll get a lot of track time even before the race on Sunday with the dual qualifying races on Saturday and the heat races prior to that. Have you put a plan together on how to manage all those laps plus practice on Saturday morning?
I hadn't even looked at the schedule. I didn't know there was a heat race. I knew about the duels. I do think the duels are pretty cool, and the payout's fair, you know, because obviously it's an extra set of tires. So that was something that we considered. But that's going to help someone like me out immensely, because basically I get almost a full race to kind of see what tendencies my car is going to have in a longer run. Because there's a lot of stuff you just cannot learn in an 8-lap practice that you're going to learn in a 40-lap feature. So like I say, I have to mention setting the scales up over there. I'll probably be a little bit more aggressive with some of my setups on Saturday, just to kind of see what I got. I got a couple different sway bars I want to try, and I'll probably, you know, use Saturday kind of to learn a little bit and just make sure that we're keeping tires underneath the car and doing what we need to do for the big show on Sunday. So it's going to be exciting. And it's like I say, all that extra time on the track's definitely going to give me a better chance. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, we can't wait to watch you both races. Friday night, of course, in the ARCA race, and then Saturday and Sunday out there at Stafford. Make sure you pack some extra snacks, because that's a busy weekend. You got to keep yourself fueled up.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Andy Jankowiak, double duty this weekend, of course, in Dover and at Stafford. Appreciate him joining us on the show. All right, coming up, we got the calendar and some big news and notes in the world of short track racing to wrap up the show. That's all coming up next here on NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelan Engineering.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
Whelan Engineering. Kyle, man, this is the first time this year we've had two guests, and both were fantastic. I'm excited for the racing coming up this weekend. I think Andy had a really good perspective on his season. Cole, obviously, with a great start to his year. Looking forward to seeing what both can do in the coming weeks, but especially Andy being back in a modified out there at Stafford.
Yeah, double dipping up here in the Northeast. We'll begin the weekend at the Monster Mile in Dover on Friday. And then, if all goes well there, especially weather-wise, and it looks like everything's going to be okay as of right now when we record this midweek, he'll make the trip about 4.5-5 hours north up to the Stafford Motor Speedway and qualify his modified on Saturday for the Napa Spring Sizzler on Sunday afternoon. So, three consecutive days for Andy, going to be a busy weekend for him.
100%, but that's what race car drivers live for, right?
That's right.
It's constantly being behind the wheel. So appreciate Andy and Cole for joining us here this week on Coast to Coast. Some news and notes before we get to the calendar, Kyle, and some big news. We talked about it on the show last week, the 4th annual Northeast Classic out there at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Pass is out there. ACT had their season opener. Well, in the ACT season opener, your race winner, Jesse Switzer, and the 25NH team were disqualified earlier this week after finding multiple problems with their infraction in the Redline Performance engine during inspection. They sent that motor out to an independent engine builder. They went through it and found multiple infractions. So unfortunately, his win was stripped. He's given last place points. And Derek Luchacki, who we talked about, had a great run last week and was challenging Jesse for the win. He's credited with the victory. So Kyle, this is not the first time we've seen post-race tech come into play. But it's got to feel worse when it's like 4 days after the fact. You've had time to celebrate already.
Yeah, and there was rumblings post-race up there that, you know, these inspections and these post-race inspections would happen. I feel like we see them more at a big event like New Hampshire Motor Speedway, where the motor is so important. And if you're going to tweak with it anywhere, that'll probably be the place to do it. Kind of like the Super Speedway of super late models and late model and modified racing up here in New England. So yeah, a tough break for Switzer, but you know, Derek Luchacki came back legal and
picked up the race win.
A win is a win.
4 days later.
Yeah, exactly. We'll chalk that one up, and I'm sure Derek will be getting Jesse on the phone coordinating UPS on how to deliver that race-winning trophy to his house sometime this week. Some big names entering races coming up here in the near future. Kyle Busch, of course, two-time Cup Series champion, is getting back behind the wheel of a late model coming up a little bit later in July. It's actually a Pro All-Star Series super late model event, the Celebration of America 300 at Oxford Plains. Kyle, it was a combination of effort, too, with his spotter, Derek Nealon, who's been obviously behind the wheel of a late model several times, owns one as well. Kyle running Oxford Plains, I don't know if he's ever been there. If he has, it's been a long time. What do you think about Kyle Busch going back late model racing? We've seen him doing on the dirt plenty of times over the last couple of years, but back in a late model.
I want to say he's been there before, but okay. I'm not 100% sure. But I know whenever Kyle shows up to any short track, it's going to gain a lot of attention. And it's already a stacked field, some of the best super late model racers in the country, part of that event. I mean, that race has seen so many big names take the win over the years. It's been sanctioned by several different sanctioning bodies, including NASCAR. I mean, years ago, it was an old NASCAR Busch Series race, the Oxford Plains 300. Kyle won't be the only one. Just announced, I believe, this morning, as we're taping this, Daniel Hemric going to make the trip up there, or trip up there as well. So you'll have Kyle, you'll have Daniel. Who else? You never know who else will be added between now and then. But yeah, all it takes is one big name to enter, and others seem to want to follow.
100%. And that also means the crowd is going to be packed to see those guys race it out at Oxford Plains coming up in July. Another big news point coming up this weekend, and it was already announced earlier, but making his second Xfinity start of the season and of his career, is Carson Kwapel, of course, the multi-time and defending Cars Tour late model stock champion. At Dover, he's going to do double duty running the ARCA race as well as the NASCAR Xfinity Series race. Kyle, he finished fourth in his series debut a couple of weeks ago, but what are the expectations? Because Martinsville is more in his wheelhouse. Dover, completely different. The Monster Mile on concrete where you're falling off on the racetrack. So do you think there's any pressure for Carson to back up what he did at Martinsville a couple weeks ago?
I don't know if there's any pressure, but I'm sure he'll feel the pressure and just walking into that place for the first time. Or I guess, you kind of walk over the crossover bridge and you see that banking coming out of turn two. It's one of the most physically demanding races on the circuit. We hear that year after year from these drivers that compete there, especially in the ARCA Menard series, that have never been there before, that get their first laps of that sensation of falling into the corner and then kind of ramping up onto the straightaway. It's going to be fun to watch and see how he does. I think he'll be fine. I don't expect the results that he had at Martinsville, like you mentioned, a type of racetrack that he's used to down in the Southeast, but Dover, a completely different animal, and it'll be fun to see how he handles it on Saturday.
It certainly will, and let's get to the calendar, because let's talk about that ARCA race that's going to precede the NASCAR Xfinity Series race, the General Tire 200 at Dover Motor Speedway. Of course, this will be on Friday night, 5 p.m. You can watch that race on FS1. Kind of a couple different storylines. One, what a field of cars we have, because Brent Cruz has entered for Venturini Motorsports, who just won the Cars Tour race this past weekend. Yep. We mentioned Carson Kwapel. Oh, yeah, by the way, William Sawalich is back, of course, Gio Ruggiero, and that kind of championship battle for the ARCA E-Series, and another whole host of field of drivers, including Jake Finch. Can he go back-to-back? So I don't know where you want to begin, Kyle, but what are your thoughts about Dover coming up this weekend for the combo event?
You know, add Marco Andretti, Amber Balkan, add Tony Breidinger. I mean, the list goes on and on. They've always put on a good show. It's nice to see a good field of cars, 26 strong, for the ARCA Menards Series race on Friday afternoon. Will it be an East regular that picks up the win? I don't know. Venturini's been tough on the National Series side. They have another good roster of drivers for this weekend. Stay tuned. You know, hopefully it's just as clean as last Saturday at Talladega, because I know when trouble breaks out in Dover, the hits can be, just as hard as we, usually see at Talladega. Fortunately, we didn't see that last weekend, but keep it clean, and going to be a good
good way to start the race weekend at the Monster Mile.
For sure. And Connor Zilich is also entered in that as well. So yeah. You've got tons of heavy hitters that are going to be going for it. And obviously, you mentioned Toni Breidinger, too. I think this was one of her best races a year ago, Dover, which kind of shocked a lot of people, I thought, coming from more of the short track ranks. But showed up to Dover and wheeled it to the front with a top 10 finish. So there's going to be plenty of storylines. Of course, we'll break it all down next week. But again, the ARCA race on Friday night, 5 p.m. on FS1. And now let's get into good stuff, Kyle. Your neck of the this will be the Kyle portion of the show. The 52nd Napa Spring Sizzler, 2-day event at Stafford Motor Speedway to kick off the 2024 season. The crown jewel of New England modified racing. And Kyle, it's a who's who event every year, and it's the same here in 2024. Give us your best preview. Let's go.
Oh, God, 35 cars on the entry list, some of the best in the business. Justin Bonsignor back to Stafford for the first time in 3 years. He'll be looking for his first spring Sizzler win, second at Stafford. Doug Kobe is a multi-time Stafford spring Sizzler winner. He'll be back in the field this week driving a car usually driven by Bobby Santos, former modified tour champion John McKennedy, last year's modified winner of the spring Sizzler. Ron Silk will be back. Matt Hirschman, three-time track champion in the SK Modifieds, Todd Owen has entered. Mike Christopher Jr., who is a Stafford regular, will be in the field. The list goes on and on and on. Keith Rocco, the winningest modified driver at Stafford right now, the active driver, he'll be in the field trying to get his first spring Sizzler win. Andy Jankowiak will be there, who we just talked to on the show. I mean, it's you know, just about everybody that has recent championships. Woody Pitcat, who has done so well at Stafford, he'll be there. He was at the track testing earlier this week. I mean, it is a who's who, and the field will be determined on Saturday in twin qualifying races, 40 laps apiece, 100 lap main event on Sunday afternoon, joined by all the Stafford divisions, the SK Modifieds, the SK Lights. By the way, there were 40 of them practicing the other day, so we expect a good field there. Late models had 30 practicing, so another stacked field. Going to be a fun weekend.
How difficult is it with the format, with the 2 days and the qualifying races, to just make the show? Because I think in the past, and correct me if I'm wrong, we've seen some names that we expected to be in the 100 lapper not even get to Sunday. So just how difficult is it, especially when you have a full field like you guys do, you know, every year?
Including former Stafford winner Bobby Santos. Two years ago, missed the race. Keith Rocco, last year, knows Stafford better than about anybody, but missed the event due to mechanical issues. There were a couple of incidents as well. Didn't really miss it on speed, just missed it on luck. But, you know, there's no provisionals. There's no charters. You're not guaranteed in. You have to race your way in through either the twin features on Saturday, and I believe there's a last chance race on Sunday morning to kind of set those final few starters. So you got to race your way in. And it's been tough for some big names to do that.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a huge weekend, of course, as we talked about, the 52nd Napa Spring Sizzler. You can watch it live on Flow Racing. Kyle Rickey, the voice of Coast to Coast, and MRN will be on the mic as well. Bonza, shout out to you guys and your whole crew. You've been hard at work doing all kinds of previews and video elements for the big boards and for your social channels, and I'm excited to get to watch it this weekend from the comfy confines of my home, although I wish I could be there. I failed to make the trip this year, but 1 year I'm going to make it, I promise. You can hold me to it. Coming up this weekend as well, the ASA Southern Super Series doubleheader, Five Flags and Mobile. There actually is a little bit of an added bonus, $5,000 to whomever sweeps both races Friday and Saturday. And making the trek from Five Flags to Mobile is a task in itself. But if you can make it clean and win both races, an extra $5,000. And then, of course, weekly racing coming up. Langley, Florence, Berlin has the Jegs and CRA Pro Late Models. Hickory all in action as well. Kyle, before we let you go, because I know you're a busy guy coming up with Spring Sizzler stuff this week, who is your driver of the week here this week?
I'm going to go with Kyle Dudley, the winner at South Boston Speedway, to open up their season with the super late models this past weekend. Called it one of his biggest, if not his biggest, win of the year. It's been a while since he's been to Victory Lane. Had a lot of bad luck to open the season. Held off Jacob Borse and some guy named Peyton Sellers over the closing laps to pick up the race win. So congratulations to Kyle at South Boston with the big win over the weekend.
Yeah, interesting, Kyle, that we haven't talked much about Peyton Sellers winning yet in 2024. Is there a reason to be concerned, you think, or is that just the competition level out there at Sobo kind of just really stepping their game up?
Well, I bet you he's concerned, but I just think it's the competition level that we're seeing in that division right now across a lot of the different racetracks that are beginning to open up here in 2024. And of course, South Boston, you know, being one of the forefront of them, one of the more, you know, prestigious short tracks in the country, especially in that region.
That is true. We'll see what happens out there. Thank you, Kyle. And thank you, folks, for joining us here on this episode of NASCAR Coast to Coast, brought to you by Whelen Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. Whelen Engineering, as always, for Kyle Rickey and our producer, Pat Jaggers. My name is Chris Wilner. Thanks for tuning in this week. Enjoy your weekend of racing. Go tune in to the Napa Spring Sizzler out there at Stafford. You know I will. And, of course, we'll break it all down next week.